Luke 24:45. My Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And this is the Lord, and referring to the Lord God. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Amen. And a lot of us are familiar with the story of two disciples of Jesus that went on the road to, they were on the road to Emmaus, right? And they had the Messiah right next to them. This is after the Lord had resurrected, and the Lord himself appeared to them, but they didn't recognize who he was. Amen. And in conversation, amen, he at the end of the conversation, he says, the scripture says that he opened, see, once he spoke to them, their eyes were opened. Because scripture says, the Lord opened their understanding that they might comprehend scripture. Amen. So I want to share some scriptures today from the Old Testament. Because we all know, and you should know, that the Old Testament scriptures are key to our gospel. Because there are multiple, several, so many scriptures in the Old Testament that point to the Lord Jesus Christ, that point to Messiah. Amen. And so when you begin to read Old Testament, or sometimes we're in the New and we get a reference to go back to the Old, you know, I want you to make this prayer. Write down this prayer. Amen. And say, Father, thank you for opening my understanding to see you revealed, to see Jesus Christ revealed in the law, the prophets, amen, the Psalms, and in all the scriptures. And I'm telling you, church, that I'm telling you that God will open your eyes just like he did to these two disciples, and he will, and you will get a revelation. You will get a visual of how it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. And we're going to start in chapter 16. And let's go to, let's start in verse 4. The book of Exodus. I'm going to be bouncing around today, but just tag along with me here, church. Amen. Be patient.
Amen.
Exodus 16, verse 4. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses. Now, mind you, this is when the Israelites were already delivered. Amen. From Egypt, and they're in the wilderness now. They're actually crossed the Red Sea. Amen. So then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. If you remember, once the Lord God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, what did they begin to do?
Complain.
They began to complain and grumble and groan and just speaking things that are so bizarre, because they were being held captive. They were bond servants of the Egyptians. Amen. And they were doing very, very hard labor. And God delivered them to a land that he promised them, that he promised Abraham, that he promised. Amen?
Amen.
that will be flowing with milk and honey, a fruitful land. Amen. But they began to complain and grumble. And here, this is, and the Lord knew what they were doing. So the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he goes on to say, I mean, look what he says, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be, the Lord says, on the sixth day that they shall prepare, that they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. They were complaining that there was no food, there was no water, they were hungry, that they were getting fed so much better and so much more than when they were back in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord, mm-hmm. and then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Why did Moses say that? Because God had already confirmed to Moses, you know, tell him to go here and go there, because I will provide. I am mm-hmm. going to provide for them, because this is what the Lord does. He provides for us.
Amen.
He provides for the people. He provided for them even while they were complaining and grumbling and everything else. Amen. I mean, haven't we done that? Don't we complain sometimes? God, how come this is not happening? Why did this happen? This is not happening soon enough. Oh, you know, I hate waiting. I can't stand waiting. God, where are you? Where are you? All along, he's right there. He's living
Amen.
In the inside of you. He's made residence inside of you. Have you ever received something from God that was not what you expected, yet it was exactly what you needed? Well, same thing with the children of Israel. You know, it wasn't really what they expected, but it's exactly what they needed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so the Israelites, they found themselves in this wilderness. They were hungry. They were desperate. And instead of letting the children starve, God provided manna, heavenly bread, that sustained them throughout their journey. And the word of God, if we go let's go to verse 31, right here in the same chapter. Look at what it says. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like a white coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Amen. Mm. You know, when we read the Old Testament, there's so many types and shadows that point to the Lord Jesus Christ, that point to Messiah, that point to revelation from the New Testament. Amen. So here, you know, the Lord provided manna, a heavenly bread that sustained them throughout their journey. And in the word here says manna, you know, can you imagine that manna is like wafers made with honey? I mean, that's delicious.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but that sounds delicious to me. I remember going to Sister Venice's house, and she brought out some crackers, and she placed a special cheese on it, and then she poured honey over it. It was so yummy. It was so good. Amen. But this is the type of manna, of heavenly bread that God provided for the people in Israel, even through their complaints.
Amen.
So today I want to explore the significance of manna and how it teaches us about God's provision. Amen. Because God is our source, church. God is our provider. And manna, as we can see here, because God is provider, and we're going to get to scriptures. So, you know, we're going to go from the old to the new, from the new to the old. Amen. So here, manna is like a picture of God's grace. You got to understand that the Israelite didn't deserve to eat after all that complaining and grumbling and all that. They didn't deserve. You know, they even doubted God. So by the Lord God giving them manna, giving sustaining them with heavenly bread, it was a free gift that he's giving them. Just like grace. We received grace from the Lord. It was freely given to us. We didn't have to do anything. Even when we didn't deserve it, God still provided it. Amen? So here we have the Lord God providing for the people in Israel when they didn't deserve it. Amen? I love the word when it says your mercies are new every morning. God's mercy are new every morning, because let's be real. Do we deserve his mercies?
Nope.
Man, we fall a lot, don't we?
Yes.
But the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the full payment that he did at the cross covers us today. Amen? Because when the Lord God sees us, he sees his son Jesus. Amen? So here, you know, my goodness, this provision is amazing. Amen? Because when we look at how God sustained for 40 years, it took them a trip that could have been done in days. It took them 40 years to make. Why? Because they were disobedient. They rebelled. They were grumbling. They were doubting. They were complaining. And not just, you know, when they complained to Moses and Aaron, they were really complaining to God. Because even scripture tells us, you know, they're not complaining to you. They're complaining about me. Because I deliver them. So here, you know, the manna is a picture of God's grace, and this mirrors the grace of God in our lives today. And like I said, we often fail, but again, hallelujah, we are thankful for his mercies, because they are new every morning. And the Bible is describing here in verse 31 that manna tastes like wafers made with honey. It was pleasant. It was nourishing. It wasn't extravagant, but it was exactly what they needed to survive and to be sustained. And what this is teaching us about God's provision. God's provision is often simple but sufficient. Amen? Isn't it? God's word is simple and is sufficient for us. Amen? Sometimes we tend to look for grand miracles while missing the daily blessings that he's providing to us, such as health, relationships, opportunities, and even his abiding presence, which we have daily with us. We have it 24/7. Amen. Hallelujah. So God commanded the Israelite, hey, you know, come in and collect the manna daily. And then he also said, in scripture, as we read in verse 5, and even on the sixth day, they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Why? Why was that? Because God commanded the Israelites to collect manna daily, except on the Sabbath. Because on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, they were to rest. But he gave them a double portion on the sixth day, so they wouldn't have to worry, amen, about the next day. Like, he provided. And he gave specific instructions on how to take care of the bread that was to be eaten on Saturday, on the Sabbath day, amen? So, amen. You know, in scripture, we're not going to go there, but some Israelites followed his command, and some didn't. And some didn't have food for the next day.
That's right.
But they disobeyed God. Amen? Because the reality is, what God is doing here, he's teaching us how to rely on him daily. Right? Mm-hmm. What is our model prayer that the Lord gave us? Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. We cannot live off yesterday's blessings, church. We need fresh encounters with God daily, fresh time in the word, and daily dependence on him. God wants us to depend on him. He doesn't want us to depend on self. He's our source. He's our provider. He will supply all our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Everything in the Old Testament points to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. Amen. And manna was, it was really just temporary. But let me tell you something. Manna was a shadow of the greater provision to come, which Amen. Was Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, he is eternal.
Amen.
With Jesus, everything is eternal. Amen. Let's go to scripture. Hallelujah. Well, let me, I don't want to get ahead of myself either. Hold on one second. Amen. Because Amen. I don't want to jump before time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we also read, not just, you know, we also read in scripture that they also, they had no water, right? Not just food, they also had no water, but God provided water for them. Amen. God later on, he led the people to a place called Rephidim. I think it's let's go to Numbers. I'm not even going to try to. Let's go to Numbers 33:15. Because in the book of Numbers also speaks about the Exodus, also speaks about Moses and the Israelites and the deliverance. Amen. So let's go to the book of Numbers 33 and let's go to 15. 33:15. Let me get there. I have so many notes, but I don't want to get ahead. They departed, the word says, from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They moved, and it goes on. So what happens there, that God led them to a place called Rephidim where there was no water. And again, the people began to complain, a place where people had no choice but to depend on God. Amen. And we know from scripture that the Lord prompted Moses at one point to hit the rock. Amen. And then streams of water came out flowing from the rock, and there was water there. Amen. And then we know from scripture also that there were bitter waters. There was a river at one point. There were bitter waters, and God turned that water, the waters into fresh water. Amen. And God provided for the Israelites. Come on. I mean, God provided, even in their complaint, even in their grumbling, God still provided for them.
Right.
Amen. And he just wanted them to trust him, to depend on him. I'm going to take care of, if I took you out of Israel, if I took you out of bondage, I'm not going to bring you to a place where you're going to have lack, where you're going to be walking in lack. No, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to sustain you. And isn't that how God is with us today? Amen. With God, we have everything. We have his grace. We have his mercy. We have his provision. We got, he's our source. He's our provider. Amen. And what God is doing, God is promoting his people to a higher dimension of trust. And that's what he does for us. You know, I'm going to test you, but where's your trust at? Where's your heart at? Are you going to rely on me to be your source, or are you going to rely on self? Are you going to rely on me to be your source, or are you going to rely on men? I'm your source, the Lord says. I'm your provider. Amen? So God was not leading the people to a place of lack, but to a higher dependency on his supply. There was, if when we read scripture, there was God's constant supply was there in the wilderness. God constantly supplied for the people of Israel.
Amen.
Constantly, daily, he provided daily, even though they didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve a piece of bread. They didn't deserve nothing from God, but yet he provided. Why? Because he loved them.
Chose them.
That's right. They are the chosen nation, Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8. And let's go to verse, I believe it's 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Manna. Manna it could mean so many things. And it also it means also the word, right? Manna, the bread, our daily bread, right? That's manna. Something that sustains us, something that sustains us spiritually. Amen. So manna literally means, you know, that heavenly bread, heavenly supply from God, from the Lord. Amen. And in Deuteronomy 8:2-4, it says, the Lord says, and you shall remember that the Lord God, this is Moses speaking, I guess, let you all the way. This is just a remembrance, amen. And you shall remember that the Lord God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, amen, because see, the people needed to be humbled and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Does that remind you of a scripture in the New Testament? Everything points to Christ. Amen. And number four, it says, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Amen. Look at how good God is, that even in these 40 years, it says, not even their clothing, their garments.
Yep.
Wore out at all. 40 years. Their feet didn't even get swollen. 40 Amen. Years. This is the God that we serve. This is how good God is. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. I mean, amazing. What God is the only one that could reveal these things. Amen. To the people. And he used Moses to and gave them word. And he used that manna. Manna was even in the five books, right? In Deuteronomy is called one of the five books, the first five books of the Old Testament. Amen. That the Jewish people really are the scriptures that they study to heart all the time. Amen. But even in here, in Deuteronomy, it has the word manna, because it's just reminding the people who read this, hallelujah, that God delivered you from from the wilderness, amen, from Egypt. But not only did he deliver you, he supplied for you while you were in the wilderness. It's a remembrance that God, I provided for you, that I was there with you, that I never left you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God is our amen. Source. He's our provider. Amen.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Because let's be real, the people could not provide for themselves. God needed, God supernaturally provided manna, heavenly food for them to sustain them throughout the time. And like I said, water represents, water that came out of the rock represents a picture of Christ. Because in Christ, we have living waters, we have rivers of living waters streaming out of us. We're flowing. Amen. We're flowing with Christ every day. We're flowing with his power. We're flowing with his anointing. We have the daily bread that sustains us daily. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:4. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're talking about the provision. God being our source. God being our provider. So we do not lack. Hallelujah. God is the one that sustains us. 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Again,
amen.
If you read a verse before, you know, in even verse 2, it says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's again, referring back to the Old Testament, but pointing to Christ, who is, you know, the rock was a picture of Christ. Amen. The rock that was flowing, that once Moses struck it, amen, it flowed with streams of water that sustained the Israelites. Amen. Water. He gave them water in the wilderness, and it typified Christ. The supply of Christ is not limited, even in a desolate wasteland.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we're recalling that God was, you know, had taken, God was taking them to the promised land. He promised them a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Go to Exodus 3:8. So the Lord says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Amen. A land flowing with milk and honey, a land that will be prosperous, a land that would produce much fruit. Amen. And what the Lord was doing here, he was giving them a taste of honey through the daily manna. The Lord was both feeding them when they were at the where they were at the present time, while giving them a foretaste of where they were going. Amen. And God was taking them to a promised land. Amen. We know the story. We know the story. The taste of honey, like I said before, also typifies the word of God, which is our daily bread. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Let's go there, because I'm showing you through scripture, amen, how everything points to the Messiah. 119, Psalm 119. Verse 103. Are you there? Oh, that's not it. Hold it. 103. Okay, 103. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I read the word of God, it tastes good. It is rich. It is sweet. Amen. It sustains me. Hallelujah. It's just good. Even in scripture, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see his word. Taste his word and see that the Lord is good. Amen. But look at what happens in the wilderness. The people of Israel grew to disesteem, amen, and despise the Lord's daily provision of manna. Let's turn to Numbers 21:5. I tell you, this is, you know, sometimes I, you know, in my older years, I can definitely see myself in this story, amen, because I did complain a lot when I was younger. Hallelujah. Numbers 21:5, right? It says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Can you imagine? I mean, this is scripture. I'm not making this up. You can see it and you can read it for yourselves. Amen. They said, our soul detests this worthless bread. That's what they were saying. Wow. You know the implication of that? Ouch. Mm-hmm. Well, we know the story, right?
Yeah.
We know how the story ends. So, you know, I asked myself, you know, have I ever disesteemed or devalued the daily bread of his word? Amen. you know, you got to ask yourself, oh my God, if they did it, God forgive me if I've ever devalued your word. Amen.
Amen.
Because sometimes without us thinking, sometimes we can come against the word of God when we don't see things happening right away. Or when our mind thinks that God has failed us. Amen. Wow. But yet there was still provision even in a time of rejection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My Lord. I'm not going to turn there because of time, but you know, in Numbers 13, we know from the story that Moses sent 12 spies, right, into the land of Canaan, and only two came back with a good report, a report of faith, right?
Right.
A report that agreed with God's word that That's Israel right. was able to possess the land. But the other 10 spies emphasized the size of the giants and discouraged the people of Israel. Can you imagine all these Israelites, and out of the 12 spies, only two came back with a good report? Only two really believed God? Amen? Hallelujah.
Yep.
And again, you know, in the book of Numbers, let's go there. Numbers 14, 1 through 4. I told you we're going to do, you know, we're going to go back and forth in scripture. 14:1 says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. After seeing those giants, right? After getting the word from these 10 spies, oh, they're giants, you know, we can't beat them, right? And all right. the children of Israel complain against, once again, they complain against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. I mean, this is how bad it was. My God, the people wept and even considered turning back to Egypt where they were slaves, fearing that they and their children might be slaughtered by the inhabitants of the land. They really thought that the giants were going to kill them. Like, wow, that's, you know, if the Lord said it, that's it. If God said it, it's done. It's a done deal. Amen. But man, Amen. Doubt entered into their minds. And then let's stay in Numbers 14. Let's go to verses 26. Let's go to 26, right? And I'm going to read. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, and all Amen. Of you uh-huh. who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, we just read it before, right? And 1 through 4, right? The Israelites said it, and they spoke it. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Be careful what you speak out.
That's right. You just might get it.
And they got it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the Lord said, and I tell you, Revelation. Revelation. This is so key, right? Because it reminded me of the word. There is power in the tip of your tongue.
Amen.
Be careful what you speak out, church.
That's right.
Amen. And when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself too. Amen. Because whatever you speak, there's life in those words.
Mm-hmm.
There's power in those words. And when we read here, the Lord said, we just read it, as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do. Right? In verse 28 that we just read, 14:28, the Lord says, I have heard the complaints, right? And in 28, he says, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Ooh-wee. That's a tough pill to swallow right there. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But the Lord, you know, the Lord, he's a fair God. He's God of justice. Amen. What you ask for, you got it. So be careful what you ask for, because you might just receive it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
So even God told them, you shall know my rejection. My Lord. Amen. Let's go to the book of Hebrews 3:17. My. I hope you're receiving revelation as we're going through scriptures today. Amen. Hebrews 3:17, it says, now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Hebrews is just making reference back to what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord was so angry mm-hmm. with the people, the complainers, for 40 years. 40 years. He says for every day that he sent them to spy the land, it was 40 days that he sent them out. For every day that they spied, it will cost them a year in the wilderness. That's crazy. All right, let's go to Nehemiah. Another book, right? Need to find it. Nehemiah, let's go to chapter 9. And we're going to go to verse 20. Nehemiah. My goodness. I need to put little stickies on these little tabs on this.
That's what I do.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, Nehemiah 9.
Oh, I have name.
9, okay. Verse 20. All right. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. This is Nehemiah. Remember, he's the one that God placed in his heart to rebuild the temple. The temple after Solomon's temple got destroyed.
Destroyed.
Right? God put in Nehemiah's heart, rebuild the temple, rebuild the temple walls. Amen. And look, even in his book, he's making reference how God did not withhold food. Heavily bread from the Israelite, from their mouth, and he gave them water when they were thirsty. Amen. So even during a period of rejection, God did not allow his people to suffer lack. Amen?
Yeah, he didn't abandon them.
If God did not allow his covenant people to suffer lack, even during a period of rejection, how much more can those who are in Christ, like us, be assured that we will never suffer lack? Since we have been accepted in the Beloved. Amen? My Lord, we are Christ's own. We are his children. We've been adopted by him. Imagine, he supplied for them in rejection. Man, God is doing so much more for us today. Amen? Because we are called his own. We are his joint heirs. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is not me. Amen. Let me give me a second here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1:6. Let me see what Ephesians 1:6 says. Let's turn there. Ephesians 1:6. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more do you think? I mean, his grace is sufficient for us. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. Hallelujah. Right? So let's, you know, let's recall back Numbers, right? 14:34. We were just there just before. And I'm just going to go back just to reference it. Amen. Because we were just here. Because God is speaking about Numbers 14:34, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. Amen. So here we're recalling back Numbers 14:34, that the children of Israel would wander in the wilderness 1 year for every day that spies had spent in the land of Canaan, right? A total of 40 Amen. Years.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to look how it points to Christ. Centuries later, amen, Jesus spent 40 days wandering the wilderness before beginning his ministry, amen, which happened to equal 1 day for every year that the children of Israel spent in the wilderness. Let's go to the book, Gospel of Matthew. Let's go to the chapter 4, right? Let's go there real quick. Amen. I'm almost done. We're talking about Old Testament scripture pointing to the Messiah, pointing to Christ. There's types and shadows. So here, Matthew 4, after the Lord Jesus was water baptized by John, right? It says here, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Amen. So here we have a picture, amen, a picture of the Israelites, right? The Lord was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he was hungry at the end, you know, every day he was hungry, he was fasting. Amen. So unlike the children of Israel, who never suffered lack, right, during their 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus experienced lack during his 40 days in the wilderness, and he experienced lack for us, so we never need to suffer lack ever again. In his time on this earth, he experienced hunger, but he hungered so that we would never lack hunger ever again. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like when he died at the cross. Amen. And the word of God says that by the wounds and the way he was stricken and by his stripes, we are healed today. So the Lord suffered those wounds so that today we can walk in our healing. Amen. The Lord suffered for 40 days and 40 nights in hunger so that we today will not lack any good thing from the Lord. Because the Lord is our source, He is our provider, and we will never thirst again. John 19, the Gospel of John 19:28. This is what it says. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished at the cross, that the scripture might be fulfilled, He said, I thirst. So even at the cross, He also thirsted for water, so that today we would not lack water. Today we have rivers flowing, rivers of living waters flowing within us, flowing within us. Amen. Hallelujah. So church, you gotta see that the Lord, He is our source. He is our provider. In Him we lack nothing. Amen. The taste of manna was given to the people of God, to the Israelites, and it was a foretaste of the promised land. Amen. The taste of manna also symbolized the taste of the word of God, because the word of God is rich. It is good. It is sweet like honey. Amen. So church, God is daily providing for us daily. We gotta trust in God's provision, even when it doesn't come in the way you may expect it. You need to be grateful. I need to be grateful. Amen. Instead of complaining of the little that we have, no, recognize that daily He is blessing you. Recognize that daily He is with you. Recognize that daily He is providing for you. Recognize that His word does not return void. If He said it, He is going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
His promises are yes and amen. So what I challenge you, you need to seek the Lord daily, church, daily. Just as manna had to be gathered every morning. The Lord told the Israel, gather the manna every morning. We got to pursue God regularly. Amen. The God is called, He is the bread of life. He is our bread. He is our manna. Hallelujah. He's the one that sustains us. Amen. In God, there's no temporary satisfaction. In God, there's permanent satisfaction in Him, because He's Lord. He is Jesus. He is our Savior who fulfills our deepest needs every single day. So church,
right.
Manna is more than food. It is, and it was then, and it is today, a demonstration of God's love for us, of God's provision for us, of God's faithfulness for us. Amen. Likewise, God still provides for us today, and ultimately He's doing it through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we trust God, we have everything that we need. Amen. His
Amen.
Grace is sufficient for us. We lack nothing in God, so we gotta just keep trusting God, keep seeking Him. Amen. And be satisfied, fully satisfied in Christ alone, because He is your Savior. He is your sustainer.
Amen.
He is your healer, and He is your provider. In Jesus' name, receive this word. Hallelujah. And let this word just reveal itself to you as you read it, as you meditate on it. See how it points to the Messiah. See how the law points to the Messiah. See how the Psalms point to the Messiah. See how the prophets point to the Messiah. In the name of Jesus, we thank You, God, for this word. It is rich, Father God. We just give You the glory, Lord God, for revealing new things to us every day, Lord God. And we just thank You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.